This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of reverse total shoulder arthroplasty from the shoulder and elbow section on orthobullets.com. A reverse shoulder arthroplasty uses a convex glenoid, aka a hemispheric ball, and a concave humerus, aka an articulating cup, to reconstruct the glenohumeral joint. In a reverse shoulder arthroplasty, the center of rotation is moved inferiorly and medialized. A reverse shoulder arthroplasty allows the deltoid muscle to act on a longer fulcrum and have more of a mechanical advantage. Therefore, the deltoid must be functional for this option. As far as the history of a reverse shoulder arthroplasty, it was popularized in Europe and now is increasingly used in North America. The clinical indications for a reverse shoulder arthroplasty include cuff tear arthropathy, pseudoparalysis, anterosuperior escape, an acute 3- or 4-part proximal humerus fracture in the elderly, a rotator cuff insufficiency equivalent, a failed arthroplasty, and rheumatoid arthritis. Let's go into some of these indications in a bit more detail. Pseudoparalysis is an inability to actively elevate the arm in the presence of free passive range of motion and in the absence of a neurologic lesion. It occurs secondary to an irreparable rotator cuff tear in the setting of glenohumeral arthritis. Anterosuperior escape is secondary to an incompetent coracoacromial arch, which causes humeral escape in the subcutaneous tissue with hemiarthroplasty. An acute 3- or 4-part proximal humerus fracture in the elderly is an indication for a reverse shoulder arthroplasty, as the greater tuberosity has poor potential for healing and bone quality is poor for primary repair in this setting. A rotator cuff insufficiency equivalent is a non-union or malunion of the tuberosity following trauma or prior arthroplasty. Failed arthroplasty is an indication for reverse shoulder arthroplasty when all other options have been exhausted. Rheumatoid arthritis is an indication for reverse shoulder arthroplasty only if glenoid bone stock is sufficient. Patient characteristics required for a reverse shoulder arthroplasty in the clinical conditions we just mentioned include low functional demand patients, physiological age greater than 70, sufficient glenoid bone stock, and a working deltoid muscle, which implies an intact axillary nerve. Contraindications for a reverse shoulder arthroplasty include deltoid deficiency with an axillary nerve palsy, bony acromion deficiency, glenoid osteoporosis, or active infection. With respect to biomechanics, the advantage of a reverse shoulder arthroplasty is that the center of rotation is moved inferiorly and medialized. This allows the deltoid muscle to act on a longer fulcrum and have more mechanical advantage to substitute for the deficient rotator cuff muscles to provide shoulder abduction. This allows increased but not normal shoulder abduction. The center of rotation being moved inferiorly and medialized in a reverse shoulder arthroplasty does not significantly help shoulder internal or external rotation. Reverse shoulder arthroplasty can be combined with a latissimus dorsi transfer to assist with external rotation. With respect to surgical technique, the two main approaches include superolateral and deltopectoral. The superolateral approach has a lower incidence of postoperative instability and a lower risk of intraoperative scapular spine and acromion fractures. The deltopectoral approach has better preservation of active external rotation, better orientation of the glenoid component, decreased risk of glenoid loosening as well as scapular notching, and it's often used for revision surgery. As far as the surgical technique, three main components to keep in mind are the humeral preparation, glenoid preparation, and tuberosity repair. With respect to humeral preparation, the humeral head is typically osteotomized anywhere between 0 and 30 degrees of retroversion. More retroversion is gaining popularity as it may improve post-op external rotation. Next, the long head of the biceps is tenotomized. Finally, you will ream and broach the humerus similar to conventional total shoulder arthroplasty. Moving on to the glenoid preparation, the labrum is excised and the capsule is released circumferentially. Accurate central guide wire placement is dictated by availability of the best bone stock for base plate screw fixation. You will place the base plate as inferiorly as possible with an inferior tilt, which has been shown to decrease implant loosening and scapular notching. Finally, you will mount the glenosphere onto the base plate. And with respect to tuberosity repair, anatomic repair of the greater tuberosity is associated with improved shoulder external rotation, function, and patient satisfaction compared to tuberosity resection or malunion. With respect to postoperative care following a reverse shoulder arthroplasty, patients are placed in a sling post-op. However, you may allow them to use the arm for light activities of daily living, like brushing teeth and eating. The sling is discontinued at 3 weeks if the subscapularis is not repaired, and 6 weeks if the subscapularis is repaired. With respect to outcomes, there are no high-quality long-term outcome studies present in the literature. Results are dependent on the indication for reverse shoulder arthroplasty, with cuff tear arthropathy having the best results. Some case series have noted 10-year survivability is approximately 90% for implant retention. Radiographic results deteriorate after 6 years, and clinical results after 8 years. As far as surgical complications to be aware of after reverse shoulder arthroplasty, these include scapular notching, dislocation, glenoid loosening, deep infection, acromion, as well as scapular spine fractures, and neuropraxia. With respect to scapular notching, this is a fairly common complication, and it's related to impingement by the medial rim of the humeral cup during adduction. There is an increased risk with a superiorly placed glenoid component or insufficient inferior tilt of the glenoid component on the native glenoid. The classification for scapular notching is the Servo classification of scapular notching, which is divided into 4 grades. Grade 1 is limited to the scapular pillar. Grade 2 is in contact with the inferior screw of the base plate. Grade 3 is beyond the inferior screw. And grade 4 extends under the base plate, approaching the central peg. At this point, we don't know whether scapular notching is a significant problem clinically. Scapular notching after reverse total shoulder arthroplasty is due to repetitive contact between the polyethylene of the humeral component and the inferior scapular neck during adduction, leading to erosion of the scapular neck. According to Nicholson et al., it may be a cause for polyethylene wear, joint inflammation, and potential implant loosening. Scapular notching appears between 6 to 14 months postoperatively, with an incidence of 44% to 96%. Radiographic progression and effect on patient function remain controversial. Predictors of scapular notching include surgical approach, glenoid wear, preoperative diagnosis, infraspinatus muscle quality, cranial caudal positioning, and tilt of the glenosphere. Moving on to dislocation as a potential surgical complication of reverse shoulder arthroplasty, the reported rate is between 2% to 3.4%. Usually there is anterior instability, and there is an increased risk with an irreparable subscapularis, and this is actually the strongest risk. Other risk factors include proximal humeral bone loss, failed prior arthroplasty, proximal humeral nonunion, and a fixed glenohumeral dislocation pre-op. Dislocation risk is not related to the condition of the rotator cuff. With respect to glenoid loosening, glenoid prosthetic loosening is the most common mechanism of failure. Treat these patients using a stage procedure to fill the glenoid cavity with autogenous bone and await incorporation with a hemiarthroplasty prior to reimplantation of a new glenosphere. Deep infection is another potential complication, and patients undergoing a reverse shoulder arthroplasty are somewhat more susceptible to infection due to the large subacromial dead space created by a reverse prosthesis. The most common organisms include Propionibacterium acnes, or P. acnes, and Staphylococci. That's all for this review about reverse shoulder arthroplasty. Hopefully that was helpful. Look out for questions related to this topic on this weekend's question session, and hopefully this episode will have prepared you for that review. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.